1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. It's part of a larger piece that I do on identity for my students. I ask them, if you had a choice, would you rather be known as someone who won 5 bronze medals in the Olympics or 1 gold medal? This is America. The overwhelming majority, to a level of 9 out of 10 at least by my eyeballing, 1 gold medal. Nobody wants to be known as 5-time bronze medalist. We want to be known as gold medalist, etc. I suppose there's some sense to that. Although I heard a commentator the other day talk about, in light of all the Olympics, that the silver medal is really the worst one. Because you get the bronze, well, hey, at least you're on the podium, you got something. Of course, you won the gold. You get the silver, you lost. You know. And of course, the difference in many instances between gold and silver is so small. And the edge is so fine that athletes are continuing to try to find whatever edge they can get by whatever means. I thought it was kind of interesting in the run-up to the Super Bowl last week, the Public Religion Research Institute put out the results of a study saying that 26% of those of us who are sports fans would say they have prayed for God to help their team, looking for an edge. 25% would say, and have said in this research, that they believe from time to time their team is cursed. 25%. Upwards of 25% believe God plays a role in determining the outcome of sporting events. I have no idea who God roots for when TCU plays Baylor. What are you going to do with that? But it raises an interesting question, it seems to me. You know, presumably God is all-knowing and all-watchful. We believe that. God is aware of what's going on in our lives. What is God's rooting interest? You know, and I think we've invented sports and we've, you know, invented allegiance to sports teams as a way of sort of living out vicariously what the best of us can accomplish. But also, I think, to use it as kind of a model and a metaphor for life. It just raises a question for me. In sports, which is a metaphor for life, which includes all of us, where is God's rooting interest? Where is God's rooting interest? Because I think life is, in some sense, a game. Sometimes it's overwrought by a competition that's misplaced. But what's true on the sporting field is also true in our homes, in our churches, and as we interact with one another in most any other way. So what is God's rooting interest? I think, first of all, God's rooting interest is that we, for lack of a better way to say it, play fair. And by that, I mean not, you know, take every edge legally within the rules and so on to live a good life and to even move ahead, but to do so with an eye toward honoring the game. Every game has a tradition, has a history. People who've excelled and have become role models. Every sport typically has a Hall of Fame, and we point to those as the ones who have achieved the highest honor personally, but also those who have most effectively honored the game. It's true in most sports, but I think it's most obviously true, and I think most effectively metaphorical for us, that playing by the rules and honoring the game means taking on the mindset of the golfer. Because in all sports, there are typically referees and rule adjudicators and so on. And, you know, it's a lot easier to play by the rules when you know somebody is watching and there's a video replay and all of that to see what in fact happened and was the rule broken or not. The mindset of the golfer goes one step beyond that, in that a penalty is called on oneself even when no one else is looking. Now, in this day of instant replay and television coverage, there have been instances where golf fans have called into the network and said, that ball moved, I saw it move, and no, they didn't call the penalty, you know. But the larger issue is the notion of honor and taking responsibility for what we know we have done, left undone, or couldn't prevent. At our best, we honor the game of life by acknowledging our responsibility or even our fault and making recompense, even when no one was looking. Call the penalty on yourself and move forward. It's God's rooting interest that we do that, and there's a reason for it, because he knows that we don't. We don't always call the penalty on ourselves. Sometimes we get defensive and try to blame the other guy, as it were. But God's second rooting interest is that although by reason of sin many a cross hath been laid on our game of life, God asks us to look to him to persevere. Now, I often talk about perseverance in the sense that we draw comfort and strength from the people around us when something happens that we couldn't prevent, or when we're struck down by things that are basically coming from the outside. But today I want to talk about persevering through largely self-inflicted wounds, not calling the penalty, seeking to evade responsibility. A couple weeks ago, I sent an email to all of my colleagues in the department, and I should have waited one more second before I hit send. Not because I don't think what I said needed to be said, but it wasn't quite as clear in the email as it would have been if I'd waited one more second that I myself am part of what I, in the email, labeled our department a circular firing squad. Big report is due into the dean's office, and a lot of us contributed to the report, and there were some things that went into the report that weren't especially edifying or even smart. And I basically said we have been a circular firing squad for the last few years, and it wasn't as clear in that email that I was part of it. I have taken my shots, and I've taken my shots at people I work with, and some of those shots have ricocheted back and, you know, hit me. I think that God's rooting interest is that we own up to and take responsibility and persevere through the circular firing squad. The Oklahoma State basketball team is in a circular firing squad right now after last night's really, really unfortunate and self-inflicted wound by one of the players going into the stands at the Tech basketball game. There is no excuse for that, and whatever incited it, there's clearly no excuse for that either. But the point is, these are self-inflicted wounds. Now, what will probably not happen, and what I think should, is that the player involved should say nothing about anyone other than, I did this, I was wrong, I will in some way atone for that. Everybody's going to go into full spin control. No, it wasn't quite that. There was this, there was that reason, and get defensive about it. And we should have learned from Richard Nixon. We should have learned from Bill Clinton, who got wonderful advice from one of his attorneys that he did not take. Tell it first, tell it all, tell it yourself. Get in front of it. Get in front of it, because the story is going to come out. Get in front of it, own it, and move on. That is hard to do. I have certainly exercised spin control in my own life to deflect responsibility from self-humiliation. I don't think that makes me any different than anybody else in this room. But here's where God's rooting interest comes to the fore. If we only simply acknowledge what we're about, where we messed up, what's the next thing we generally hear, or our faith tells us we hear, when we say unto God, I have grievously sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed? The next words we hear, coming from our faith perspective, is, you are forgiven, go in peace. And if you keep trying to deflect the responsibility, you never get the last word. You never get the last message. That's why I think, in part, the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, is so poignant and powerful, even though it sounds like an old gospel hymn with a simple melody. Are we weak and heavy laden? Well, yeah. Cumbered with a load of care? Sure, from the outside, but also you know, from within, that circular firing squad. You should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have a conversation. Have a confessional conversation. It's not like God doesn't already know what the full details are. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Get in front of it and get beyond it. That's God's rooting interest, because God wants us to hear those words. You're forgiven. Go in peace from here. God's rooting interest is that we honor the game of life. And to the extent that we don't, we persevere through it and take it to Him. And I think finally, I think God's rooting interest is that from time to time, we just enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Have some fun. Fun, sports, humor. These are all aspects of what makes it worth it, and also what gets us through. We have something of an emerging tradition in our house. It started when, several years ago, I was under some significant stress at work and hadn't done this in a long time and was just looking for an outlet. What did we do? We went bowling. I am a terrible bowler. I've never been good at bowling. It's a publicly humiliating experience if you think anybody else is watching, but guess what? They aren't. They're interested in their own life. So bowling is a way to just go have some fun without nobody's gonna have, oh, there's the guy that's gonna settle for the bronze. No, that's not gonna happen. And it just deflects a lot of energy, and it's just a little bit of fun. Now, we've done it for other reasons too, and we've taken kids and all that. But if I've gone bowling 3 times in the last 10 years, that would be a lot. But it's always on the list of, well, you can always go bowling. And I think we need a list like that. That just, you know, I'm going to take a breath and have a little fun doing something rather bizarre and maybe even a little silly, you know. Because laughter and humor really deflects a lot of negative energy. In the back and forth to Austin with the new baby over the last month or so, we've taken a couple of road trips, and in one instance, I was driving back from Austin by myself. Jeannie was down there, going to stay another few days. And I stopped in Llano for a water and a break and all that, and as I was pulling into the Valero that's on the corner there in Llano, I realized that I was a little out of step in my outfit for that day. I was wearing my Superman shirt. Now, Llano is the venison, sausage, and testosterone capital of the hill country. And I've got my Superman shirt on, going in to get a bottle of water. And I thought, this was not smart. I know this. So, yeah, of course, as I'm walking to the car, I hear a voice from behind me goes, "Well, I guess Superman's in disguise today." It's a true story. The first thought that went through my mind is I'm back in fourth grade and this guy's going to steal my lunch money. And I don't know where it came from. I turned around and I said, "If you need a locomotive stopped, I'm your guy." I got in the car and took off. Just diffuse. I mean, I don't know what else to do. Well, I think that if you become adept at seeing the humor, especially in your own stupidity, I'm the one that wore the shirt. What I wanted to say is, what part of Man of Steel is missing from this picture? Humor, especially if we see the humor in our own faults and fables and foibles, I think moves us forward. And I think that's God's rooting interest, you know, because at our worst, I hope God finds how amusing we might be to Him, because He created us this way. Creative, skilled, unbelievably stupid from time to time, and yet the crown of His creation. I think that the essence of God's rooting interest is that when He sees us looking in the mirror, He wants us to see reflected back the essence of all of His love, that we somehow, even on our worst day, it gives rise to the next day, when He says, "You're forgiven and loved, and all of the good that is in you has not eroded. Move forward. Own it. Enjoy it. Honor it. Persevere. That you may obtain it. You may obtain evermore and every day the knowledge that He loves you and will see you through and forgives you every single time. Amen.